I know you're jealous I don't have a mask on, don't you? I know what you're thinking. So we need to just face how much we can interact with masks. I can see that everybody is smiling at me. I just know they are. Awe and wonder of my teaching. I can just imagine that behind those faces. So let's see how we can do on just responsiveness. If Jesus is good, you can say amen. Is Jesus good?
Amen.
A little bit louder so you can hear on live stream.
Amen.
See, you can do it. We can do it. So we're going to work through this. And so I just want to, a couple things I wanted to just mention before we get started is, you know, there'll probably be a little bit of a pastoral talk before most of my teaching. I'll try not to keep it too long, but we have a lot. We don't have very many places to connect. So one thing I'd say before we get into our teaching this morning is that I just want you to keep remembering this is a very odd time. And it's like we've talked about before. It's what we're realizing when we use this, or I keep using this analogy, it's like the tide's gone out. The things that are under the surface are now amplified. We see them more clearly. And we can see some really, God wants to show us some really beautiful things during this time. He also wants to show us some things that may be a little bit more difficult to look at. But our question is, what do we do with this time? And so I just want to keep encouraging to not duck your head, to continue to let God into what's happening. God is working in this time. I know it. Sometimes it's so painful and we're just tired of things. But in this spot, let's make the best of the opportunity. And a couple things I just wanted to mention on that. And one is this place of seeking. Those last 2 weeks, remember we did before live stream? We just want to say, we believe this is something that I think as you're seeking God, is pay attention to things that He's stirring up in you. This place of what maybe God might have you be a part of actually moving someone towards Jesus. And we've had great responses, but we also know when we did it, it was a lot going on, and a lot of people said, I don't have time to do that right now. So we've left that open on vcclife.org. And as you can tell, live stream and here too, we're having some video problems on our oversight. But we have another one I'll just mention as well is on vcclife.org/race, we're still wanting to really encourage you to keep looking at those resources. You know, and I'll just say a couple things. For me, you know, I was raised. I'm a part of a mixed family, black and white. Right? It's one of the best blessings I've ever had. But what's really kind of rattled me this couple, you know, how long has it been now? 4 months. As these things are going on in areas of race, I've begun kind of letting God show me some stuff in my heart. And really, what I recognize is this is the area of justice and race is a church thing. It's a thing of the kingdom. And I've always known that. I've even said that. But I believe I know it even a little bit better way. And so one thing I would just encourage you, one of the easiest ways to start and kind of engage in that is actually just going to our page on race and be able to just actually look at things, race and justice. And we have great resources there. And that's just something I want to keep challenging you to be able to do. So look that up on vcclife.org and keep diving in. So let's go ahead and we're going to pray for our offering. The offering here is in the back. And then you can also go to vcclife.org and then /give. And you can do it online as well. We're going to pray for our offering. We're going to pray for our time and that God will just come, right? If you always say is God wants to do a lot, our part is getting our heart place of receiving and looking and seeking. And so Holy Spirit, we want to just start there and say, we know that we're at this strange place of actually having things tested within us. We're shaken up. We're at places that you show us things. And God, I pray that you will not allow us to just get through this halfway. I pray that you'll keep giving us the grace to continue to opening our hearts wide to you, allowing you to be our teacher, allowing you to show us the things of our heart. And God, just keep protecting us as a church. Keep protecting the church. Watch over your church. We welcome you into this time. As we take this offering, we say, thank you for how you provide for us, how good you are. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I want to apologize if you got an email out there for, especially live stream or paying attention to that email. I changed a little bit on the title. I got into it and I thought, oops, too much. So I've narrowed it down a little bit, and I've narrowed down the text as well. But if you want to turn there now, you can go to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. We're going to be covering that. And the thing that I've been noticing as I've been reading the scripture is I've been noticing that God is this God who is always wanting us to give us a lot. I mean, if you look at the scripture, it's really this place in which that God is this God of abundance with everything waiting for us and wanting us to have it, right? We see that in Romans where he says he works in abundance provision of his gift of grace and righteousness. Ephesians, it talks about how he does unmeasurably more than we can possibly imagine. You can just see this all the way through scripture. It talks about if you want wisdom, he never holds back. He's extremely generous. He just wants to give it to you, right? And so as we look at this, is that what I realize more and more is that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and he's wanting to lavish. It says in Ephesians, he wants to lavish it on us. And so the question is on the receiving end, how is it that we can receive that? Because that's what it's always encouraging us to do. You know, for me, some of you have heard my story about when I was at a retreat and I felt God just kind of, I just started weeping. I didn't know what was going on. And so it was kind of crazy for a long time. And I finally got all by myself because I just was undone. And I finally said to God, what are you doing here? What's going on? Why am I crying? And usually I just cry because I feel God and I'm not sure what's going on. So I thought it'd be good to get some information on this one. And I remember I got away, and when I closed my eyes and I asked that, I had a vision of God distributing gifts in a circle. And my pile just seemed to get too big. So I began taking the gifts and hiding them behind my back, and I felt more and more awkward the entire time. And when I asked God, I said, what are you saying? He said, it breaks my heart that you don't open and enjoy my gifts. My gifts are good, and you need to open them. And see, what was happening there is it was all waiting for me, right? But there were things in my heart that kept me from being able to receive the abundance that God had for me. And so as we talked even last week, right, we talked about this place of worry, where we begin trying to protect our tomorrows. And when we live in that state and believing that the natural things of this world are going to satisfy, we start building those up to protect our tomorrows, what happens? It keeps our heart from receiving what God has. And the way it describes is it's like an eye. It closes our eye off. So instead of our life being flooded with goodness and light, it darkens us, right? It's this place of receiving. And so we're going to be talking today, and we're going to be talking about how the way we see others, you know, this place of how we judge specifically other people and how it affects our heart and keeps us from being able to experience the things that God has for us. And so we're going to dive into the scripture. We go right through it. It says this. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Now, when you use the word judgment, right, many times people have lots of responses to it because it's used in many different ways. And so understanding the word, even the Greek word that's used for judgment, it can mean lots of different things in the context that it's put in. So, for instance, when you look at this, it talks about this place. It's really just a word of deciding, a choosing what you believe to be true, right? A choice in something. It can be declaring something to be wrong or declaring something to be right. It's a spot where, or it can be a place that you're passing a sentence on another person, right? It can be all those kind of things. And so as we look at that, to just get into that a little bit, is that here's the truth about judging. Everybody here, everybody in the world, every human is judging with certain definitions that they're judging all the time, every moment, right? You're judging if that chair held you. You're judging this. You're judging, is this a good sermon or a bad sermon? I think I'm boring. You're making all kinds of judgments. We just make judgments all the time. And so we, at this spot, I mean, we make judgments. So there's good judgment, decision-making, right? Like, what doctor should you have? You have to make a judgment. Which one's better, right? Who should babysit your kids? Should I date this person or shouldn't? Should I trust my information with this person or not? See, those are all judgments, right? And we do it all the time. And we're supposed to be people who make good judgments, right? And then it gets a little more crazy in the scripture, because then there's other scriptures that says we should judge, and especially when it talks about the body of Christ, right? In other words, as a family, we have to understand that we can't close our eyes to things that are destroying our brothers and sisters. And so many times we have to make a call and say, that's not good. You need to stop that, right? And so we're at a spot of deciding how to do that humbly, but we still make calls on our family members in the body of Christ. Now, one time I was at this leaders meeting early on, and I was talking, and I'll use the name, call this person Henry. It's none of you, by the way, so you're all right. So I'll call him Henry. And I began, among the leaders, saying, you know, here's, I think, the thing we need to watch out with Henry. And I began talking about Henry to try to think, how do we help Henry in the situation? And as I'm talking, I think I'm just doing fine. And I look at one of the leaders, and they look at me, and they just stop me. And they say, you know, everything you're saying makes me feel like that you're dishonoring Henry. The way you're speaking of them, with the tone you have, that... it causes me, I know Henry, and I feel really awkward right now, right? That was judgment. David, what you're saying is not healthy in the way you're saying it, right? And I had to say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry about that, I can't do that, right? And the thing is, that, so we look at that differently. I will make certain judgments with you, right? Judgments will look different than other people, right? Like, for instance, outside the family, you know? As followers of Jesus, Jesus says, I did not come to condemn the world. And that actually is the same word as judge, exactly the same Greek word. You know, but I came to save the world. In other words, when you look at Jesus, he didn't have the same standard for the people who were saying, I'm connected to God, than the people who weren't. And this is where the church has gotten ourselves in so much trouble, is because we begin using the same judgment towards the world that we do the church. And it's completely different, right? I had a friend of mine, a neighbor that I was just meeting one time a while back, and I was just getting to know him, and as I'm talking to him, I'm asking, what is he like doing? And one of the things he had just gone on is a naked bike ride, right? So I thought, now if one of you said that, I might actually push back a little bit and say, is that really good to do? That wasn't my place to think. I just took that in, right? I actually love it when my neighbors actually begin cussing around me and being themselves, because I understand that I'm not going to call. If you come up to me and you begin swearing and cursing a lot, I might say, let's talk about this. I make a judgment. But I judge differently, right? So understanding all that is what we see in this place, is that there's a place where, let's just keep it kind of as simple as possible. There's good judgment and there's bad judgment, all right? We're going to primarily talk about bad judgment today, but we understand that this is in the context of we want to go to good judgment. And so, keeping it simple, it's really easy, I have found, to judge badly, right? We, right now, are at a place where I believe this is something that we have to understand as a church. Because if you've noticed, judgment is rampant right now. Condemning, hurtful, painful judgment is pretty much anywhere you go, right? And it's so easy to happen because, I mean, especially right now, right? We're in the middle of lots of things. And when I've talked to people, I said, usually we're a bit on the edge. We're like angry, maybe, or we're sad, we're raw, or we feel like we've been pushed into a corner and we don't know what to do. We have threats of our job, we have threats of health, we have threats, all kinds of things going on in people. And what we find, it's really easy in all this stuff to judge. And so as I go through this passage, what I want you to understand is that we as a church This has to be key. We have to look different than the world in a way that's radical, right? And as we look at this, I think it's something that I think everybody here, I feel like there's going to be some really good things God wants to say to you. So keep your heart open, okay? Keep your heart open as we go through this. The first part is this, as we kind of break this down. It says, do not judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Now, our role in the kingdom is to be kingdom people who serve and love and bring the good news of Jesus to the people that were around. And we are not good at being the final judge on things. You guys know that? We cannot see the heart of anyone. We can't actually even know our own heart according to Scripture. So the idea that we should be able to say, yes, I know what is true in this judgment, is just not our right role. So understanding that as you look through it is that, you know, and this is, I think, is really helpful because in Romans, I think it describes what Jesus is referring to when he's talking here. And he says, which Paul says this, he goes, you then, why do you judge your brothers and sisters? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we are all stand before God's judgment seat. That's humbling. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Now, contempt is a feeling of that person or that thing is beneath consideration. Discounted. Put in a category, right? In a place in which that they become worthless or they're deserving scorn for what they've done, right? Now, when we look at that, I think verses 1 and 2, it's just like a, I don't know, this is a very simple but super powerful thing that you should put on your refrigerator. This is a truth of the kingdom that applies so every day of your life. In this place in which that the way that you do not judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, so what that means is if you are a person who's critical and passing judgment, and if you're a place that, you know, you're seeing this place of you're putting a place that that person becomes slightly less important than you or less deserving or deserving of scorn, you know, the truth is this, is it'll be measured back to you the same way. Now, I just know this too well. I mean, I can know this on every level. And here's the thing is I'm really good about not showing my judgment. But it doesn't mean that I don't struggle with it, right? The things that go on in my heart is what this is talking about. And so, Debbie, my wife, I've learned this trick. If I get to a place that in my heart I'm very critical and dismissive and categorize guys in Debbie, I'm always amazed at how much I get it back from her, even without saying it. There's something that happens in this cycle of judgment. Judgment ends up bringing on more judgment back. There's this cycle that takes place. And this can actually happen in lots of places. You know, have you guys ever had this with your kids, or you've watched this with other kids? If you're a teacher, maybe you've experienced this. Once you get to a spot that you're looking at that child with judgment and dismissiveness and lowering them, all of a sudden that child responds back in ways that judge you back. It's critical. Their heart becomes defensive, and things happen. We can see it with our friends, our coworkers, our neighbor, that neighbor you have, that you have this thing of, when are they ever going to get rid of that stupid boat outside or that car that they keep parking the wrong? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Think of that neighbor, and all of a sudden you just start thinking that, and all of a sudden it just kind of keeps flowing because it comes back. Even political leaders, not that any of you thought about that, right? But political leaders, pick one. You start thinking about them. You begin judging them. And all of a sudden, don't you feel better? And don't you feel less judged by them? And it happens in all kinds of levels. But it really happens, what's so important, between us as the body of Christ. It makes a big difference on how we treat one another. All right? Now, the next verse goes to the kind of some of the solution in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. It goes on, starting in verse 3, it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." In other words, this is how you get from bad judgment to good judgment, right? And so, the result is this place that what it's saying here is that when you pass judgment in this way that is in the negative, the wrong kind of judgment, when you pass judgment like that, it brings a blindness to your own heart. It just starts happening. When you do that, all of a sudden, you're unable, because of this judgment, to be able to see what's happening within you, right? And I just, this is one of the more humorous examples of one of Jesus's more humorous examples, because if you really get the picture of this, it's like, if you can imagine being this person who has this tiny little piece of sawdust in their eye, and there's this guy with this plank sticking out and says, "I am going to help you. We're going to get that thing out of there," and you're just dodging them, and this person is determined, "This is the problem. We got to get this sawdust out," and there's this plank flying out of my eye going around. I mean, he's making it really clear. This is how crazy it gets. You can get to places of not even understanding how blind you are to what's going on inside of you, because now you've got to a place of this place of judgment. Now, I think of this like, because this is kind of reminds me of this. Have you ever had these times where you're, not that you ever get in fights with anybody, but you're getting fights with somebody and someone says, "Well, it seems like, you're a little defensive." And you go, "I'm not defensive." And you go, "Oh, I guess I'm defensive," right? You're blinded to how obvious it is. Like, well, maybe you're not defensive, but you're angry. "I'm not angry." It's like this place where something happens where you begin not being able to see who you are. And all of a sudden, the standards get all out of whack, right? And then it goes on to say, "You hypocrite." This is talking about your standards get changed around on you, right? And so, and this spot is this place. Then he gives us what to do. This is so practical. Here's what you do. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. And then you can remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, how do you do that? When you recognize, I am in this cycle of judgment. And you can feel it, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys are thinking already, like, these things, I can see this thing happening with this person, that person. When you're in the cycle of judgment, you have to understand you're blinding yourself to what's going on. And you want that other person to see the problem. But the reality of it is, here's how you do it in the kingdom, is you go to God. And you take the plank out. That means you humble yourself, right, before God, and you repent. Now, that sounds like a heavy word, but repent just means I turn from this, I don't want that, and I turn to God. And when you repent, you go to God and say, "You're my Father. I'm hurting here. This is what's happening. I need you to help me." And you do what David did in the Psalms. You say, "I can't know my heart, but I now give you permission to show me my heart. Because I know when you show me my heart, you show me your grace and you show me your mercy. And I want to see my heart so I can know what to do with this." And then that is how that happens. The plank can be removed. So here's a question. How do you know the plank's gone? And this is so important to understand this feeling of when you're in points of judgment. Because when your plank is gone and you can start clearly, here's what clearly actually feels like. Clearly feels like this. I look at the person and I feel what God feels toward them more than I did before. It's not like you feel all that with God, but you start seeing them, and you don't see them as less than or deserving punishment like you used to. Seeing clearly, you start being aware, more importantly, of how you're doing with God than how this other person should be doing. Seeing clearly is this place where all of a sudden this person that was always messing up your life or frustrating you becomes somebody in which is in God's image. And that you might even see their sin still clearly. They might still even be mad at you or sinning against you, but you feel this. You feel God's mercy for them, not God's disdain and judgment. You feel what God does. Your heart goes to a place of compassion. And when you have that, you're able to start seeing clearly. And when you can start seeing clearly, it allows God into those things, and that abundance becomes something you can receive. So, why do we pass judgment on others? I think it's pretty easy to do. It's so natural. And I think there's a number of things. And this is real important because there's a reason that we do this. And these are the things that God wants to keep showing us in our heart. We pass judgment on others because we want justice. And it's right to want justice. But we have to understand that we are never the person to bring wrath or punishment. I do never want to get in that spot, right? That is something I must leave to God and trust Him. In Romans it says, "Why do you judge and take revenge for your enemies? Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge.'" Now that sounds harsh, but the thing is that you don't want to be the person who tries to bring the justice because you don't know your heart and you don't know their heart and you can't trust your judgment, right? So you choose not to. The other thing is I think that sometimes why do we judge? It's really tied down to our worth. This is something God's been really helping me with. I mean, He's been asking me this question. Can you go through a day without lowering a person? I have not made it yet. I'm just telling you. Here's why. We judge because we need to see value in ourselves. And we lower a person for the sake of our own not knowing how we're valuable, right? It's a place of insecurity. It's a place of worth, right? Another reason I've judged anyway is that if you're feeling accusation coming at you, judging is a way of making it stop. The best way I describe it is the pointing finger, right? If you keep feeling this, pointing at you, which is not that person, your struggle is not against flesh and blood, how do you make it stop? Oh, God, oh, he's not going to be, oh, he's too good, okay. Yeah, start pointing at other people for the sake of making the accusation stop. But of course it doesn't. Other places, this place is that we have to defend the truth, right? And so we end up insecure that we're going to lose the truth or not going to be seen for that spot. And God's in the kingdom, it's always like, oh, I defend you. You don't ever have to do that. My authority is to defend you. That's not your job. So, and I say this is that, and the worst even come on up now. I just want to say to you guys, this truth is going to be crucial for us as a church, especially right now, but from here on out. Because we are called to be the light of the world. And right now, in all the polarization and all the judgment, we are going to be tempted to do the same. The enemy has got to a place, he's destroying things and people and relationships through this, right? And as a kingdom people, we have to say, how do we judge well? And how do we refuse to judge in a way that we pass judgment on anyone? And not just anyone, our brothers and sisters, but the world as well, the people who are enemies, we are called to what? Love them, right? This is radical, but it's the way we have to be as a church. And so, guard your hearts. Man, it seems like we can't control anything right now, right? But we have to understand that what God's looking at is not all that stuff. He's looking at my heart. And I have to say, God, I'm going to guard my heart, because out of my heart, that's where you're working. And so I just encourage you, guard your heart. And so what I want to do right now is I want to have us just take a quick time to pray this prayer. And the prayer is, God, show me my heart. Bring it to mind anyone that I am judging in a way that displeases you. Pretty straightforward, right? Now, I'm going to have us just close your eyes. And at home, you can do the same thing. Or you can do this later, but please do it. Holy Spirit, right now. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that prayer in your heart. And I'll just say it out loud. You can just listen in and pray it kind of with me. God, show me my heart. Bring to mind anyone that I am judging in a way that displeases you. Now, I'm going to give about a minute here. And I believe he's going to bring up images or people and of people. And I don't make it complicated. When you have that person who comes to your mind, or those people who come to your mind, as they come up, you can just say, God, forgive me. And then let the next person come up and say the same thing. So just take a minute here. Let anybody who brings to mind and just simply receive his forgiveness, turn from and turn to. Lord, we just thank you that you're so gracious and merciful, and you want us to be free, living out the things the way you want us to live in places of your abundance. And so, God, just keep our hearts protected. Allow us to keep asking you out through all these things. God, keep our hearts soft, loving you and loving others. Keep our hearts in a place of never judging in a way that condemns, that is a wrong way. And just help us to have that be an essential guide within us. We just welcome you now into the rest of our time. In Jesus' name.